Amen. And as you are remaining standing, take your Bibles, please, and turn them to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 14. Say, preacher, we're studying the book of Psalms. Yes, we are, but we are taking a brief turn from Psalms for several weeks here before the anniversary. Book of Acts chapter number 14. The book of Acts chapter 14, and we are studying the book of Acts, and we're right now on chapter 18, but we're in chapter 14 right now. Amen. Acts chapter 14, and a peculiar topic we're going to be talking about today, but one that I think is very relevant and very necessary in the day and age in which we live. Acts chapter 14, and we're going to read verses 1 through 7. Acts chapter 14, verses 1 through 7. By the way, I mentioned earlier 4 through 6. I meant 4 through 9 for Children's Church. So if you're still here and you're 7, 8, or 9, you can go ahead and be dismissed as well. So I apologize for the oversight there. 4 through 9 get a chance to go to the Children's Church area. My daughter pointed that out to me, and I'm grateful that she did because I didn't know that. 4 through 9 are dismissed. 4 and Acts chapter 14. Everybody at Acts 14 say amen.
Amen.
All right. Well, today's topic, I'll tell you in just a minute. I do know that it is very relevant. It was relevant in Paul's day. It's relevant today. Join with me in reading together in verse number 1 all the way down to verse number 7. Let's start at verse 1. And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles, made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Long time, therefore, abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, and part held with the Jews, and part with the apostles. And when there was an assault made both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers to use them despitefully and to stone them, they were aware of it and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth round about. And there they preach the gospel. Well, opening chapter 14, we find Barnabas and Saul, the missionaries, entering into a town called Iconium. They'd just been expelled from Antioch and Pisidia in chapter 13 for preaching the gospel there. And they came here, and they are going to get expelled again. But I want to draw your attention to something that happened here in the early church that I think is still happening today, and I believe you would agree with me. This is something for which we as a church should heed if we want to be successful spreading the gospel and for the spiritual life, strength, and health of our church and ministry life. Notice verse 2. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles, made their minds evil affected against the brethren. The phrase evil affected is the topic for the next few weeks that we're going to be preaching about. It was rampant in Paul's day, and it's still rampant today as well. The question is, have you been evil affected? Or have you evilly affected someone else? Whether directly, on purpose, or indirectly, by accident, none of us are immune to it. I've been through it. How about you? We've all been there. Many of us have evilly affected someone else, and if so, you often know by whom and you know when. You say, preacher, how can I tell? Well, any of us can evilly affect someone else. It can happen by accident or on purpose. The way you know if you've been evilly affected is when you think about somebody, you think negative. You've been evilly affected.
Yes, sir.
Oh, but they didn't mean any harm. I didn't say they meant harm.
That's right, Pastor.
Sometimes it's on purpose, like it is here. Sometimes it's by accident. But evil affectedness affects the ministry of the gospel. Evil affectedness affects the brethren. evil effectiveness makes you unsuccessful and unproductive in doing that which you need to do for God. And that's going to be the topic over the next several weeks here leading up to the anniversary. It can be by accident. However, the most dangerous is when it is done maliciously and on purpose, as we see here in our text. And we must be on guard against being evilly affected because it is so easy to do. And it's so easy to happen. I've been a victim of it, folks. I've been there. And I know how it can affect your mind. I know what it can do to you. Make you do things that you normally wouldn't do. Make you think things that you normally wouldn't think. Make you perceive people the way you normally wouldn't perceive them. Have you been evilly affected today? Or have you evilly affected someone else? Father, help us now. Lord, I know Satan will fight this message. He will fight it tooth and nail. He will occupy our minds and try to get us to think about any other thing than the main thing, and that's the Word of God. Lord, he infiltrated this church by the unbelieving Jews and stirred up a whole city of folks that believed. And Lord, I know he is still doing that in churches around this world, around this country, around this state, around this city, and Lord, in this building even today. Lord, I ask now that the power of God may shine and that you would bind Satan and his demons from this time, that our minds may be cleared and free to think spiritually about the Word of God. Lord, our minds would be unaffected by allowing us to hear what thus saith the Word of God. Lord, there are some in this room, I believe, that are evil affected even now, and they won't even hear the message this morning. But Lord, I pray the Spirit of God will part their minds and part their souls, part their hearts. They may have this imparted in their hearts. They may see the danger of being evil affected. They may see who has evilly affected them. They would see when it happened, and they would guard themselves against it. Satan is a master at what he does, Lord, we know. But greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. He's a mastermind of blinding people to the truth. And he's a mastermind at getting people to see things that are not there and perceive things that are not real and to have things that are not really accurate and then act upon that. But Lord, we do pray for the truth of the Spirit of God today. Lord, being one that's been evilly affected myself, I know how dangerous it is and how you can view and see and sense people. But God, would you use this time now? Magnify your Son, Jesus Christ, through the message. Magnify the Word of God today. Lord, when it's all said and done, maybe someone has been evilly affected about the gospel message. Maybe about church. Maybe about a parent or father or mother, or son or a daughter, or a pastor or preacher or teacher or leader, a brother or sister. And God, may they get that thing settled today. May they get that thing put to rest today. May they bury it under the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, may that man, woman, or boy, or girl that's not been born again today get saved and know that they must be born again, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Lord, help that man, woman, boy, or girl today to accept the blood that's been purchased for their soul and their salvation and get saved. And then guard their hearts. Lord, help us that have been evilly affected before to plead the blood of Jesus Christ that others would not follow in our footsteps. Amen. Help us to watch what we do, what we say. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Brother Wilbur's got a special for us. Amen.
Suppose God searched through heaven and couldn't find one willing to be the supreme sacrifice that was needed. Bye. eternal life for you and me. Oh, had it not been for a place called Mount Calvary, had it not been for the old rugged cross, had it not been for a man called Jesus, then forever my soul would be lost. Oh, but I'm so glad he was willing to drink his bitter cup. Although he prayed, "Father, let it pass from me," and I'm so never called heaven's angel. From my hands pull these nails that torment me. Oh, had it not been for a place called Mount Calvary, and had it not been for the old rugged cross, and had it not been for a man called Jesus, then forever our souls would be lost.
Amen. If it wasn't for Jesus, amen, where would we be? What would we say? Where would we go? Amen. No place. We'd be lost without Jesus. Amen. Well, amen. We are looking at this area of text today, we're going to be talking about this over the next several weeks. We'll look at different aspects of it. But I do trust it'll be a blessing to you. And let me say from the start that none of us are immune to this. All of us have been on probably both ends of this. We've been evilly affected by someone. We've evilly affected someone else. It's easy to happen. It's just taking no thought for what we say and say something. And sometimes you can say something in jest, and someone else can take it a different way totally and be evil affected by it just because of who we are and how we handle things. And so we're going to be looking at that over the next several weeks here. Say, preacher, who can we be evilly affected by? Let me say, first of all, we can be affected by a dad. We can be evilly affected by a mom. We can be evilly affected by a parent. We can be evilly affected by a child. We can be evilly affected by a friend or a foe. We can be evilly affected by a teacher or a preacher. It can be a student. It can be the unsaved. It can be the saved. It can be a church member. It can be a non-church member. The fact of the matter is, it doesn't take much to be evilly affected, and none of us are immune to it. Amen.
Amen.
And by the way, I'm preaching to everybody in here that you have at one time in your life evilly affected someone, or you have been evilly affected by someone. And I would venture to say we probably have had both in our lifetime.
Amen.
It's just the nature of the beast here. And so we're picking up with Paul here in chapter number 14. He's just coming from Antioch and Pisidia in chapter number 13. You find that in Acts chapter 13 in verse number 14. It says that they departed from Perga. They came to Antioch and Pisidia, went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. The individuals there said, "Hey, do you have some words of exhortation for us?" And Paul, as his manner was, gave them the gospel. Amen. By the way, somebody asked you, do you have any words of exhortation for me? Amen. Exhortation means to build up. You can say, yes, Jesus saves. Yes, Jesus still saves. Amen. The gospel still works. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so coming down here, of course, when they asked them that question in verse number 15, verse 16, Paul stood up and gave them audience and he began to preach to them the gospel of Jesus Christ all the way down there. Amen. And notice verse 26, chapter 13. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. Who is salvation through? Jesus Christ. None other than the Son of God, amen. None other than Abraham's seed. None other than the child that was promised of David's lineage, amen. None other than the Savior of the world, the Messiah, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jehovah God of the Old Testament is Jesus of the New Testament. And Paul proclaims him, his death, his burial, and his resurrection for the sins of mankind. Amen. He was buried. He was crucified according to the scriptures. He was buried according to the scriptures. And he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Say, preacher, for who? For you?
Amen.
For me?
Amen.
Amen. Brother Wilbur just sang about him. And so they preach down through here and give these folks the gospel. And at the conclusion of giving the gospel, notice what it says in verse number 42. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. So basically, the Jews didn't make any type of commitment to what they had heard at all. Notice down in verse 44, the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. Man, would to God that would happen today. The whole city would come together just to hear the words of God. Amen. Hey, back in Israel of old, that's what happened. Everybody came to hear the word of God. Amen. Young and old, shy and bold, they all came to hear the word of God. Notice what it says down there in verse 45. But when the who? The Jews. And we're going to see that phrase again. Saw the multitudes, they were filled with what? Envy. Spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. You're going to find that to be a normal thing. The Jews would see the multitudes of people leaving the areas of Judaism and going to Christianity, and they didn't like it, and they would be envious of the crowds going after Jesus Christ, the crowds going to get saved, the crowds going after this Jesus whom Paul preached, and they would call it heresy, and they'd get a little envious of that. They begin to speak evil. In other words, they begin to evil affect people. Because they don't want people to have this Jesus. By the way, when people speak evil of someone and they evil affect someone, normally it's because they got an issue about something. Or somebody. Or somebody's. How many times has my assistant pastor been lumped up just because he follows after his pastor? They're going to speak evil of me, but he's going to speak evil of us now. And because you're with that preacher, you're the culprit. Hey, they're envious. And so they began speaking evil of them. But you know what? God and his word is still going to prosper. Notice what it says down in verse 46. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. Who? Jews. But seeing ye put it far from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to Gentiles. Say, if you don't want to get saved, amen, I go to somebody else that does.
Yeah.
Amen. Hey, if you don't want it and you're going to speak evil of it, guess what? Then you can't get saved.
That's right, Pastor.
Amen.
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 That's good, Pastor. That's good.
And notice what he says down there. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I've set thee to be a light. The Gentiles, are they... thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad. Amen.
Amen.
And glorified the word of the Lord. By the way, all of us should be glad because you're all Gentiles.
Amen.
Amen. Every last one of us in here. We're not Jewish.
Amen.
We're Gentile.
Amen.
And glorified the word of the Lord. As many as were ordained to eternal life believed. The word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. But who? The Jews. Here we go. Back to that same group that's envious. Back to that same group that spake against those things. That same group that contradict and blaspheme. That same group that had issues.
Amen.
Come and do the same thing all over again.
But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coast. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came to Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Amen. The people that got saved were excited. Paul and Barnabas were excited. And they came to a new town. They said, you know what? We left some folks back there. There's going to be a church back there, a group of folks back there. But let's go to Iconium. And what did we find in Iconium? And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews. And so spake that a great multitude, both of Jews and also the Greeks, believed. So I want us to notice something about this. They did the same thing that they did in the last town. A great multitude believed. As we get into this, and today's topic is being evil affected by receiving the rule of the rejectors. Being evil affected by receiving the rule of the rejectors. So what I'm talking about, preacher? You're going to be evil affected when you receive the ruling of someone else about a situation and you don't check it out yourself.
Amen.
They're being evil affected because they are receiving this ruling that the rejectors had and that they didn't want it and they didn't want to have it and they rejected it and they're going to try and tell you to do the same thing.
Amen.
Hey, folks, I'm here to tell you it's prevalent today in society. Hey, you got these young teenagers out there that will get in school and say, I reject my parents' rule. And so another teenager say, well, I'll reject my parents' rule as well. Hey, you get some little boy out there. I reject this area of being a man and pure until I get married. And so I'm going to tell you about it. Another teenage boy say, well, I'm going to be that way too. Hey, you get a wife will say, you know what? I don't like what my husband's doing to me and what he said to me. And some other one say, you know, I don't like what my husband and wife said about me either. So I'm going to do the same thing. What am I saying? When you receive the ruling of a rejector, you're going to be evil affected.
Come on, Pastor.
And the same thing is happening. First of all, I want you to notice the receiving of the message and the messenger in verse 1. The receiving of the message and the messenger. And notice the Bible says they went both together, who's that, Paul and Barnabas, into the synagogue just like they did in chapter 13. And what did they do? The Bible says, and they so spake. You know what that means? They spoke with some passion. They had some vibrance in them. There was some vigor in them. They so spake. They believed what they said. They understood what they said. They knew the people needed what they said. And so they said it. They didn't blink an eye. They didn't bat an eye. They didn't wink at all. They said it. They so spake.
Amen.
You know what? When you so speak, people so listen.
Yes, sir.
Amen. My little Joshua boy, he's got that phrase down. Daddy, I'm so hungry.
Amen.
Daddy, you are so right.
Amen.
I mean, he got it down.
Amen.
The Bible says they went into synagogue and they so spake. What did he speak? The word of grace. The word of the gospel, of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That, yes, men are sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. They so spake.
Amen.
The Bible says people believed.
Amen.
What am I saying? The receiving of the message and the messenger. We find down here, they so spake, and a great multitude, it says, both of who? The Jews. And who else? And also of the Greeks. Did what? Believed. Because they so spake the word of God. Let me tell you something. Don't you ever get tired of speaking the word of God.
Amen.
Don't you ever get tired of preaching the word of God. Don't you ever get tired of giving out the gospel. Don't you ever give up. Hey, the last town, they spoke against those things. They evil affected the minds of those people. Guess what? Move to the next town. Move to the next mind. Move to the next person. Move to the next section. Keep going. Don't give up. Keep giving it out. Keep giving it out. After being expelled from Antioch and Pisidia, Paul didn't let that discourage him. It was business as usual at the next synagogue. Why? Because Jesus is still saving.
Amen.
But he will not save, and he cannot save without the word of God. Amen.
Amen.
It takes the convicting power of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit on someone's life. They must hear the gospel. They must hear that they're lost. They must hear that they're in sin. They must hear that there's a real hell. They must hear there's a real devil. They must hear that they're guilty. They must, they must, they must. And without that, they cannot get saved. Am I saying they so spake? They so spake. This should be encouraging for us. Never get tired of being in the house of God. Even after let's downs, you come to the house of God. Sometimes you get discouraged. There's disappointments with people. And you never know what might happen the next time you come back. But if you don't come, you'll never know what happened. You'll hear from somebody else.
Amen.
What am I saying? Don't give up. Paul and Barnabas didn't give up. What am I saying? The receiving of the message and the messenger. The Bible still says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world.
Amen.
What does it say here? They so spake. The word soul suggests the manner in which it was given, not what was said, but how it was said. It was said with passion, with power, and with precision. The message reflected in their delivery of it, and it should for us too. Why? It's the grace of God.
Amen.
The gospel still has power to save, no matter if it's in Antioch, in Pisidia, whether it's in Iconium, or whether it's in Tucson.
Right.
People are still lost. People still need to get saved. Hey, friend, let me tell you something. God loves you so much.
Yes.
For God so loved. They so spake. He so loved you that he gave you a church that preaches the gospel. He gave you parents that loved you. They may not have been the best parents in the world, but guess what? They loved you. Hey, I gave you friends. They may not be the best friends in the world, but guess what? Some of them love you. Hey, God has given us great things. Why? Because God so loved us. And God could not fathom you and I separated in a place called hell. But my friend, when you evil speak against the Holy Spirit of God and you blaspheme the Word of God and the messenger of God and the message, that's what's going to happen to you. Preacher, I don't like that. You don't have to like it. It's still true. You can't get saved without the Word of God. And my friend, when people evil affect you, you can't get saved. A whole town in Antioch of Pisidia did not get saved as a result of some things going on. But some people did. Amen. I'm glad I'm in the crowd that did. Coming down to Iconium, there's another great multitude getting saved. And some Jews got saved too. Not only do we see the receiving of the message and the messenger, but I want you to notice, second of all, the rejecting of the message and the messenger in verse 2. And this is where we're going to spend the bulk of our time. And I'm going to be honest with you, we're not going to get much further than right here. The rejecting of the message and messenger. But, verse 2. Every time you see that but, it means, did you just see what just happened? That ain't going to happen again in the next verse. When you see but, normally it's something that's contrary. I was going to the store, but I changed my mind. I was going to discipline you, but I changed my mind. I was going to give you some money, but I'm not. See, it doesn't work when you say, I was going to give you some money, but I still am. It doesn't work that way. But means something totally different is happening. And so great multitudes got saved in verse number 1 because they received the message and they received the messenger. What am I saying? They didn't receive the rule of the rejectors yet. But, starts off verse number 2, the rejecting of the message and the messenger. When people get saved, the devil fights back. Notice who he uses and what he does. Notice, first of all, the rejectors of the message and the messenger. But the unbelieving, who? Jews. You know, it didn't say all the Jews. Why? Because in verse 1, some Jews got saved. Some Greeks got saved. It says, but the unbelieving Jews. Who was the culprit over there in Acts chapter 13? The Jews.
Yes, sir.
Who's the culprit here? The unbelieving Jews. The rejectors of the message and the messenger. There will always be those who will be used of the devil to oppose the gospel of Jesus Christ. Here's the Jews that rejected Jesus as Messiah. They couldn't see a Jesus Christ, a Jehovah God coming down, being a man, dying on the cross. They couldn't see their Messiah dying. We want a Caesar.
Amen.
We want an Alexander the Great. We want someone big and mighty. We want a warrior. Oh, you got the best warrior in Jehovah God. Say, preacher, how can you say that? He conquered sin, hell, and death.
Hey.
Amen.
That's good.
Now, you name me somebody that's done that.
Well, that's
Alexander the Great didn't do it. Caesars couldn't do it. Pharaoh couldn't do it. They're all dead and gone. Amen. But Jesus said, I will be the greatest warrior you've ever seen. I'll come and die for your sin. I'll die as a man. One man sinned. One man got it all back. I'll be buried for your sin. I'll be risen again for your sin to conquer death once and for all. It's done. It's finished. And so the Jews could not see their Messiah coming in this way. And so they rejected Jesus as Messiah. They rejected the means for saving men from their sins. They could not see the cross as viable for them. They couldn't see their Jehovah God, their Messiah on a cross, ridiculed by the Romans. But they misunderstood one thing, my friend. That should have been them up on that cross. That should have been you on that cross. That should have been me up on that cross. That should have been us up on that cross. They misunderstood the Messiah and the means. So when you misunderstand something, it's easy to talk about something that you don't understand. They did not understand the Messiah being up on the cross. They couldn't understand the means, and they couldn't understand the method, the death, the burial, and the resurrection. But it was because of them. And it was for them. And they couldn't see. It was for them. They couldn't see that part. And so the Jews did not understand that. They didn't understand the Messiah. They didn't understand the means. And they definitely didn't understand the method. Because the Bible says, curses anyone that hangs upon a tree. But see, he was cursed for them. He didn't have his own sin. He had our sin. He bore our sins. He bore our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. But by his stripes, we are healed. Amen. And so they rejected the Messiah. They rejected the means, they rejected the method, therefore they rejected the messenger, and they rejected the message. But the unbelieving Jews. Rejectors are not limited to just unbelievers only. Those that evil affect are not just unbelieving Jews. It can include disgruntled people, discontented people, deluded people, deceived people, divisive people, Christians with an agenda to undermine, not just unbelievers. It's disgruntled Christians, discontented Christians, deluded Christians, deceived Christians, divisive Christians, Christians with an agenda to undermine because they don't like what's going on. I don't like what I hear. I don't understand the Messiah. I don't understand the means. I don't understand the method. And so it must be evil. One thing the Jews failed to see is that they had it going on for a while. That was never supposed to be the end of the story. The gospel message was fulfilled in the lamb sacrifice that they had every time Passover came over. When I see the blood, he said, I will pass over you. The lamb sacrifice, it was all done for a reason. Looking ahead to Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. We stand on the other side looking back and we're saying, behold, the Lamb of God, which was slain from the foundation of the world for my sins. They couldn't understand that what they started in Judaism was finished on the cross. And so it's just not the unbelieving Jews that can be those that will evil speak of something. Not just the rejectors of the message and the messenger. Notice also the rallying against the message, the messenger. The unbelieving Jews, that's what they did, stirred up the Gentiles. Stirred up the Gentiles. Now, wait a minute. Go back to chapter 13 and verse 50. And what do we find there? But the Jews stirred up the devout women, of devout and honorable women, and the chief men of the city. They're doing the same thing. I found out that if someone will evil speak of someone in your presence, they'll evil speak about you in your absence. Amen. They'll do the same thing over and again. Come on now. Somebody tell the truth.
Amen, Pastor. Amen.
Same people that will evil speak to you about someone else will evil speak about you to someone else.
Yes,
amen.
Amen.
You sit there and nod your head. Yeah, girl, I tell you. That preacher. They'll go over here. And that girl over there. I tell you. Bad mouth you the same way they did bad mouth me. You think you got the market on it, but guess what? They rejecting you too.
Amen.
Smile in your face, stab you in your back. I got many knives in my back, Pastor White.
Amen.
It's Still got the wounds. Still got the wounds. The rallying against the message, the messenger, stirred up the Gentiles. The word stirred up means to rouse upon, to excite against, or to get someone opposing you.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Stir them up. Hey, why do you think your kids come home with so much garbage and foolishness at times?
That's right,
kids at school, stir them up.
Amen.
Kids at school, arouse them. Kids at school, incite them to do this foolishness. The reason why I stole the car at age 15 and went for a joyride is because my friends excited me. They stirred me up. Hey, we can drive. We can get our cars. Why don't you get your car? You know what this fool did when he got my car?
Oh, amen.
But I forgot. It ain't my car. It's my mother's car. And I'm 15 with no license. But you know what happened? These fools stirred me up, and I was the bigger fool because at the end of the night, guess who was getting in trouble? They went home to mamas and daddies. I had to face mom and daddy, and they was judge, jury, and executioner. I'm surprised I still got a head left. I'll never forget that night. My mother jacked me up in my car. Me and my mother the same size. My mother got me against that wall. She said, boy, what were you thinking? And then she picked me up like that, and I didn't know my mother was that strong. And I thought, she going to take her fist. And she's going to put a slap in my stomach. And it's going to go through my belly. It's going to go out the wall. And she's going to leave me there and talk to me for the next hour. Just like that. And Carmen know my mom, and she would have did it too. How did I get in that predicament? Somebody stirred me up. Somebody did some evil speaking in my ear. They stirred me up. And I did something foolish, stupid, that I would never do again. My mother made a believer out of me. The rallying against the message and the messenger. They stirred up the Gentiles. This is what people do to get your attention. Often it's the ones that need the message and the messenger the most that are stirred up.
Amen.
Often it's the younger Christians that are stirred up, or women without strong spiritual husbands that stand for God and with a man of God. Often it's the less prepared to handle Satan's attacks that people want to stir up. Come to me with it.
Amen, Pastor. Amen. Come
to me. I want you to come to me. But no, you're not going to come to me. You go to somebody else that you figure you can stir up.
That's right, Pastor
Dawson. Go to Pastor White.
Hey.
No, you're not going to go to Pastor White. You're going to go to somebody else that you can stir up.
Hey.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Hey, I had people come to me try to stir me up.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
After my fall, Pastor White, I fortified myself.
Uh-huh.
Next time somebody came try to stir me up, I said, guess what? You need to go talk to the pastor about that.
Amen, Pastor. Amen.
And if you don't tell him within about 2 weeks, I'm going to ask him, did you tell him? They stopped telling me stuff, Pastor White. You know why? Evil speaking. Evil affecting me. I said, I've been down that road once. I'm not going back down that road. I got the sign up says, do not pass. Do not pass. The rallying against the message, the messenger, they stirred up these Gentiles. The form of attack today tends to be social media. Folks will get on Facebook and talk about the preacher, talk about the pastor, talk about the church members. They'll email, they'll text, they'll do all sorts of things, and then they want to watch it go viral. How much stuff have we seen on TV already? Stuff going viral.
Yes, sir, Pastor, it is.
I told my wife, I said, you got to watch yourself. People got their videotape you. You don't even know they got your videotape. And they post that stuff, you go viral.
Oh, yeah.
Some pervert had a camera installed in a lady's restroom.
Whoa.
And had posted this stuff on the internet.
Oh,
how perverted can you be? Something that's supposed to be helpful, like Facebook and email and texting, has gotten in the hands of people that have been evil affected, and then they get this stuff to run viral, and many people are afraid to face you face to face. They'd rather attack you by Facebook.
Yeah.
Rather attack you by email. They rather text you, and they don't want to come face to face and look you in the eye and tell you what they think.
That's right, Pastor. That's right.
Coward.
Yes.
Coward.
Uh-huh.
Most folks have no interpersonal skill to talk to somebody face to face because they're too afraid.
That's right, Pastor. They are.
If you got something to say about me, say it to my face.
Amen, Pastor.
Don't say it to somebody else in this church. Why? Because you're going to evil affect them against me. And I got to preach the word of God to feed their soul. And if their soul has been tainted by what you said, they can't eat supper.
That's right, Pastor.
They can't eat dinner. They can't eat lunch. They can't eat breakfast because you have evil affected them. And that's exactly what's going on here. It worked at Antioch of Pisidia, and the same thing Satan's going to try here in Iconium. Notice not only the rejectors of the message and the messenger, the unbelieving Jews, the rallying against the message and the messenger, they stirred up the Gentiles. But then notice the ruin of the mind against the message and the messenger. Notice verse number 2 again. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles. Notice this phrase, and made their minds. The ruin of the mind against the message and the messenger. The word made here means to injure, to exasperate, or to harm, or to vex. It's not like baking a cake where you make a cake, where you put a bunch of ingredients together. It's more harmful than that. So in other words, I gave you some things that's harmful to make your cake with. That's the goal. I've given you some arsenic in your cake mix. I've given you some borax into your cookie mix. I've given you some rat poison in your cake mix. And you're going to make it with that. They made their minds. The word mind here means the rational part of man, the thought part, and the choice making part of man. In other words, it's the mind, the soul, the life, the heart of the person. And so what the Bible is saying here, the ruining of the mind against the messenger, the messenger started with them helping them make their minds. This is what people do directly or indirectly. I'll tell you about one incident in my own life. Years ago, as a young Christian, I was excited about my Christian walk. Amen. And some unsuspecting people came to me. And I honestly don't think they meant any harm. And they began to give me their credentials of the Bible colleges that they went through and how smart they were and all this. And as a young Christian, I was, wow, you did what? And then they said this, Pastor White, Pastor doesn't have those degrees. He doesn't have any degrees, as a matter of fact. And as indirectly as that, I was evil affected. From that point on, I looked at them. They've got education. By the way, education don't mean a hill of beans. Some of the smartest people are still going to hell. Some of the smartest people don't believe there's a God. Some of the smartest people on the planet Earth don't believe they're going to hell themselves, and they will surely go as the day is long. And indirectly, I began to look at my pastor in a different light. Amen. And so everything that he said now, I scrutinized Pastor White. Amen. Oh, he stumbled over that word because he's not educated. Oh, he gave a wrong definition because he's not educated. Oh, he couldn't pronounce that Bible word because he's not educated. Wow. Oh, and on and on and on it went. And these two folks were going on their merry life with their Christianity. All the while, hear me, young Christian, I've been evil affected, and they didn't even know I was.
Amen.
And so I sat there critical. And as the time went by, the relationship that I had with my pastor wasn't as sweet as it was.
That's right, Pastor. Amen.
Because I was critical. Yes, sir. And I began to step back and step back and step back and step back. And the very one that's supposed to be feeding me, I'm not receiving.
That's right, Pastor.
Why? I've been evil affected. It happens to preachers and church members.
Yes,
it happens to husbands and wives. Mm-hmm. It happens to parents and children. It happens to co-workers and bosses.
Amen.
It happens, it happens, and it happens.
Yes, Pastor, it does.
They made their minds. In other words, they gave them the things to make their mind with. They injured their minds. They injured their thinking. They injured their thought process. They injured their capability of choosing correctly,
yes, sir,
and purposely getting them to side with them.
That's right, Pastor.
Misery loves company. Misery loves company.
Does.
They're not going to receive the message, but they don't want you to have it either.
That's right, Pastor Donald.
You ever
That's
seen people
right.
like that? They don't want something, they don't want you to have it either.
Preach it.
Wait a minute. In the defense of the Jews, they actually thought they were right. Because they couldn't see their Messiah dying.
That's right.
They couldn't see the means by which it went. The death, the burial, and the resurrection. They couldn't see the means. Dying for sin? We've got a victorious God, Jehovah. They couldn't see the method. The cross, that's for criminals.
Amen.
It's got to be when you're dying for criminals. They couldn't see it. So in their defense, they didn't mean anything by it, but guess what? Indirectly, they still injured me. What am I saying? When you receive the rule of the rejectors, you're evil affected. The ruin of the mind against the message and the messenger. People can actually make your mind if it's not already set. How many of y'all ever gone to the car salesman? You hadn't even planned on buying a car and they sold you a car. How many of y'all go to the Pima County Fair, one of these fairs? You hadn't planned on buying anything. Somebody sold you something.
Yes, sir.
You know why? They affected your mind. They made your mind for you because your mind wasn't already set.
That's right.
You go to the Pima County Fair. Oh, you can have this and you can do this. My kid's like, oh, daddy, let's get this. No, my mind's already made up. We ain't doing that.
We ain't doing that. That's
but daddy, it only costs. I don't care what it costs. We ain't doing that.
Amen.
But daddy, you got money. Not for that, I don't.
That's good.
Why? My mind's already made up. What happens is, if your mind is not made up about the gospel, about Jesus Christ, about the word of God, about the things of God, about the message of God, about the messenger of God, somebody will make it up for you.
Amen.
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 Somebody will make it up for you. They made their minds. They made their minds for them. Be careful what you say against the preacher. Be careful what you say against his wife. Be careful what you say against the deacons, the assistant pastor, their wives, their children. Be careful what you say against leadership. Be careful what you say in jest, because somebody could be evil affected in this church.
Right.
How do I know? It happened to me just as innocent as that. Just as innocent. And as a result, I was evil affected. I can remember a situation with one of my family members. Something was done to someone close to me. From that point on, I was evil affected against that other person.
Mm-hmm.
I was evil affected. Why? Because of what they told me. They made my mind. They made my mind up for me. I didn't have to think.
Amen.
I took their mind. You can make someone's mind and not even know it if you're not careful. I was reading a devotion back out of A Daily Word, August 13. Let me read to you what it says. It's called Think Before You Speak. It says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, there be any praise, any virtue, and there be any praise, think on these things. It goes on to say, perhaps you've heard of a gossiping church member who became convicted of her habit. And why'd it have to be a her? The main target of her frequent rumors was her pastor. So she went to him and asked his forgiveness. He forgave her. But when she asked, what can I do to make things right? He gave her an assignment. Handing her a bag of feathers, he told her to spread them around the lawn. These feathers represent the rumors you've told about me, he explained. Now gather the feathers back up. Realizing this would be impossible, the lady understood the destruction her gossip had caused.
That's good, Pastor.
Hurtful speech of any kind cannot be undone once it is spoken. Once someone is evil spoken, you can't righteously affect them in that way. Once the words are gone, they're gone. God desires that our speech be pure, holy, and uplifting. Philippians 4:8, which is a verse that we just read, gives us a pattern of things of which we should speak before we speak. We must think about what we're going to say and consider if it will honor the Lord. He says, I once saw an acrostic for how we can think before we speak. And it's T-H-I-N-K, think. T, is it true before I say it? H, is it helpful before I say it? I, is it inspiring before I say it? N, is it necessary before I say it? K, is it kind before I say it?
That's good.
If we all ran our speech through the filter of think, we would be less condescending, hurtful, and careless with our words, more uplifting and encouraging in our speech. The tongue is a mighty tool that can be used for good or bad. How are you using your tongue? Do you think before you speak? Remember to think before you say anything that could be harmful or unkind. What am I saying? The ruin of the mind against the messenger and the message. It says here, but the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds. An unbelieving husband can do it. An unbelieving wife can do it. An unbelieving parent can do it. An unbelieving friend can do it. An unbelieving teen can do it. A disgruntled Christian may even do it. And most times, they do. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ with the image of God should shine unto them. So if you look at this, and it says the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds, the question that I ask myself, why was it so easy for the Jews to make up their minds for them? And I began to think about myself. And I gave two reasons why it was easy for them to have their minds made. The ruling of the rejectors was received, first of all, because they may have been wowed by their exterior person. In other words, they said, wow, these guys are the Pharisees. They're the Sadducees. They're the scribes. They're the religious crowd. Look at them. Whoa, they must be somebody. They must be right about the subject. They were wowed. They may have been wowed by the exterior person. Some people may get wowed because others look good. They give good gifts. They talk good. They're nice. They're authoritative or they're intimidating. They may be a person of position, influence, or a leader. Watch out, leaders. People listen to what you say and who you say it about. Amen and amen. Amen, amen and amen.
Amen.
Well, I just said it jokingly, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. The Jews had reduced the worship of Jehovah to rules and regulations and requirements and not a relationship. And so, yes, they look good on the outside. Hey, the Von Trapp family looked good on the outside. But you know what? All they had was rules, regulations, and requirements. They had no relationship with their father. If you've seen The Sound of Music, you know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm saying? They may have been wowed by the exterior person of the Pharisees and the Jews. They look religious. They look righteous. They look real. They looked holy. They look right. However, it should never be about a looking religious. It should be about a relationship. It should never be about a looking righteous. It should be about a being righteous. It should never look about being real. It should be real. It should never look about being holy, looking holy. It should be holy. It shouldn't be, well, they look right. It should be about they are right. Follow people just because they look a certain way. Hey, who cares how they look? What's in the heart of man comes on the outside sooner or later. Hey, well, they look righteous. No, hey, he said, be righteous. Don't look righteous. Hey, they look holy. He said, be ye holy, for I am holy. Anybody can look holy. Put on a suit. Put on a dress. Put on some high heels. Put on some clothes. You can look high. You can look this way. You can look that way, but your heart is still desperately wicked. It comes out of your mouth. I believe they were wowed by the exterior person or the looks. And second reason I believe that they may have fallen for this is that they may have been wooed by their interior person. We say their interior person. They were wooed by what they wanted to see. What they I want to hear some dirt on people. I want to hear what Susie did. The pastor did what? Ooh, let me hear that. Let me hear that dirt. Hey, I can be wowed by the exterior person. I can be wooed by my inner person. Hey, what do I want to see? What dirt do I want to hear? Hey, how about being concerned with righteous deeds, not unrighteous dirt? It's a shame that the National Enquirer and a lot of these filth books sell because people want to hear dirt. Put a message out there and say, this is the gospel, the good news. It'll probably go bankrupt. Folks want to hear dirt. So I believe the two reasons that they received this message to get their minds made, or they were wowed by the exterior person of the Jews, or they were wooed by their inner person of what they wanted to see and what they wanted to hear. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Notice again the not just the ruin of the mind against the message and the messenger. They made their minds, but what they did, the reaction against the message and the messenger. The Bible says the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected. Evil affected. The word evil affected means they harmed or injured or poisoned their minds against Saul and Barnabas and the message that they brought. It also has the idea of irritating or exasperating their minds against the brethren. The Jews were trying to poison the public's opinion of Paul and Barnabas so the people would not receive the message. They would not take more people away from Judaism. Satan's main goal is to get people to believe, not to believe Jesus Christ and his word. Hey, if it worked in the Garden of Eden, it'll work today. He told Eve the same thing. Hey, eat of that fruit. She said, no, God said we ought not eat of that. She said, God just said if you eat of that, you'll be wise. You'll be as gods. You'll be like this. And what happened? Wowed her from that point on. Wooed her from the inside. She said, whoa, it looks good. Whoa, it looks good for food. Hey, it's going to make me wise. That's what I want.
Amen.
And
Amen.
Took her. Evil affected the mind. The reaction against the message. This is the end result, whether directly planned or indirectly planned, in the mind. Why is that so important for the devil? He wants to discredit God's message and God's messenger. It already said great multitudes of people got saved in verse 1. And so what do you want to do? They already got saved. I don't want to get anything else.
Amen.
By the way, nothing worse than a defenseless baby.
That's right.
Nothing worse than a defenseless Christian who just got saved, does not know what to do, left to themselves. And so I can't unsave you. Great multitudes got saved in verse 1. But I can sure get in there and evil affect your mind against the brethren. I can sure put some things in your mind so you don't side with those believers. You don't side with those Christians. You don't side with that preacher. You don't get with that assistant pastor. You don't get with those deacons. You don't get with their wives. You don't get with those teachers. You don't get with those leaders. You don't get with those people over there. I want you on my side.
That's right, Pastor. That's right.
I don't believe in either should you.
Preach it, Pastor.
Amen.
Amen.
Been there.
Yep.
Been there. God's message has to be avoided at all costs for Satan. Because the message delivered to you through the messenger that God uses can change you and the world for Jesus' sake. And the devil knows that the message will change you and the world in which you live. It changes you first, and then it begins to affect others. And so if he can evil affect your mind, if he can get in there, make your mind up and give you some things and tell you don't believe this, don't listen to that preacher, don't listen to that message, reject that gospel, reject that foolishness, don't listen to your parents, don't listen to your teachers, don't listen, don't listen, don't listen. If he can get you to do that, he knows he's won. And he knows that you and your world will not go any further than it is right now. On the contrary, it'll go backwards. So I can't unsave you, but I don't want you to go any further. With the message of God, through the messenger of God, it will change your world for Jesus' sake. Without it, you won't get right and you won't stay right. With it, you'll stay right and you'll keep getting right. Notice not just the reaction against the messenger and the message. They were evil affected. They were directly affected. The reality against the message and the messenger. What's the reality? What is the main goal? To get their minds evil affected against the brethren. It's the main goal. If I can get you not to listen to that brother, if I can get you not to listen to that sister, if I can get you not to listen to that preacher, if I can get you not to listen to that parent, if I can get you not to listen to that husband, if I can get you not to listen to that wife, if I can get you not to listen to that friend, if I can get you not to listen to that deacon, if I can get you not to listen to that pastor, that preacher, that teacher, that Sunday school teacher, if I can get you not to listen to that leader, if I can get you not to listen to that pastor's wife, if I can get you not to listen to that assistant pastor's wife, if I can just get you not to listen, it'll evil affect you against the brethren. The very ones that you need. Can you imagine a baby child suckling, having to nurse, evil affected against her mother? Can you imagine if little Peter Allen right now refuses to nurse? What's going to happen to that baby? It will surely die. The same thing that will happen with this group right here that just got saved. And they know I can't unsave you, but I can sure stir your mind up against the brethren. I can sure get you against the preacher. I can sure get you against the preacher's wife. I can sure get you against the assistant pastor. I can sure get you against his wife. I can sure get you against the deacons. I can sure get you against the deacon's wife. I can get you against the teachers. I can get you. I can get you. I can get you. My main goal is to affect you against the brethren. My friend, let me tell you, you are up against something when you're up against God. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for it serves man's sword, that shall he also reap. You may get the last laugh now. You may say, ha, 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 but guess what? In the end, God's going to get the last laugh.
He will.
The reality against the messenger, the messengers, against the brethren, the brethren Paul and Barnabas are the very ones that can make a difference in the life of these believers in Iconium. They're the ones, whether it's the pastor, his wife, the assistant pastor, the deacons, whoever it is, leadership in general. These are the brethren that Satan wants evil spoken against.
Amen.
The question is, have you been evilly affected, or have you evilly affected somebody else by what you said? Whether directly or indirectly. Say, preacher, I don't know. Ask God to search your heart. Here's the good litmus test. When you think about anybody, what thoughts do you have? Good. If you're thinking negative, somebody evil affected you. When you think about your preacher, what comes to your mind? Preacher wasn't there when I needed him, and they said he wouldn't be there. There you go. Well, he did this for brother so-and-so, and when he came down to the hospital to visit me, Susie said he bought them a stuffed bear. All I got was a card. Evil affected.
That's right, Pastor, that's right.
Well, when Sally went through her tragedy, he was right at her house the same day. And I ain't seen him for a week. Just like they said. Evil affected. They don't tell you the part about he was out of town.
That's right.
Have you been evil affected?
Yes, sir.
I am not too proud to say it's happened to me.
Amen.
Say, preacher, what'd you do? I came down to an old-fashioned altar. I wept, I cried, and I prayed, God, forgive me. Forgive me for listening to that foolishness. Lord, I was wild. God, I was wooed. God, forgive me. I've been evil affected against the man of God, against the brethren. They spoke to me. I took it, hook, line, and sinker. I've been, God, oh God, I'm back. And guess what? I went and hugged my preacher so tight. I told my preacher, I said, preacher, I ain't been here for you. I've been here in body. I looked good. I looked holy. I looked right. I looked religious. I looked like I had it all going on. But in my heart, I was gone to Ono. I was gone far away. And I was so critical of my preacher because somebody evil affected me. I am no fool to know that some of you in this room are affected right now. Some of you are affected against me, and you need to come down to the old-fashioned altar and get that right. Some of you are affected against my wife. You need to get that right. Some of you are affected against my assistant. You need to get that right. Some of you are affected against his wife. You need to get that right. Some of you are affected against my deacon and his wife. You need to get that right. My other deacon and his wife, you need to get that right. Some of you are affected against my teachers. You need to get that right. Some of you are affected against the leadership of this church. You need to get that right. Now it's getting personal. Now it's not about the Jews anymore. It's up in your face now. And now, as God is my witness, you got to deal with it the same way I had to deal with it. I had to come face to face and say, God, help me. I've been miserable. God, I've been foolish. God, what did I do? And I had the humility to come down to an old-fashioned altar and plead my heart out to God. I had the humility to go to my pastor and tell him, I ain't been there for you, pastor. I listened to that garbage. I listened to that foolishness. I've been evil affected. Oh, God, I've been against you, pastor.
That's good.
I hugged my pastor and I said, as God is my witness, I am never going to go down this road again. As God is my witness, as God has given me strength, I'm putting a sign up, and that sign says, do not enter. Anybody that comes to me with negativity about my preacher, they're going to have to deal with me. And people stopped coming to me after a while. They went to somebody else, and evil affected them. But guess what? I was strong in the Lord after that. Why? Fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, shame on me. Especially when I know better. Some of you husbands, maybe you need to talk to your wives.
Amen.
You've been evil affected against them. Wives may have talked to your husband, been evil affected against them. Some young people, you may have to talk against your parents. You've been evil affected by what your little classmates said.
That's right, Pastor.
And you need to talk to your parents. Like, you know what? I've been evil affected against you, mom, dad, but you know what? I'm back on board. I'm going to follow what the Bible says. I'm going to do what's right. Now, I'm not saying they haven't done some things wrong. I'm not saying that at all. No, preacher, you don't know what they did. I don't, but God does.
Yes, sir, he does.
Some parents may do some things directly or indirectly. Mm-hmm. Some children may do things directly or indirectly towards their parents, but guess what? That doesn't make it right. You just still need to get it right. What am I saying? Folks, we're about to approach our 14th year anniversary coming up.
Wow.
And if we've been evil affected, we cannot go together like we should.
That's right, Pastor Dawson.
We can't.
That's right.
Some of you have been evil affected, and you know it. If you think negative about a person, you've been evil affected. And you need to get that right. Say, preacher, well, what happens if I don't get it right? You'll continue to be evil affected.
That's right.
Amen. And you won't be able to prosper. You know, maybe today you've been evil affected against the gospel message and you've never accepted Christ as your Savior.
Yeah.
You know what you've done? You've received the rule of the rejectors. You've received the rule that Jesus is not sufficient, that Jesus is not enough, that his death, his burial, and his resurrection is not enough for you. You need something more. My friend, let me tell you, there is no more. When Jesus hung on the cross, he said, it is finished.
Yes, sir, he did.
His death, his burial, and his resurrection is for you. It's sufficient. If you're here today without Jesus Christ today, you need to get saved. Except the man be born again and cannot see the kingdom of God. You need to get saved. If you're a carnal Christian, you need to get right with God. If you evil affected someone, you need to get that right. If you've been evil affected, you need to get that right. Whatever the effect is, you need to get it right. Why? You can't be prosperous if you don't get these things right. It'll hound you. It'll hunt you down. It'll come back. Why do you think the Jews are here and over in Iconium, and we're going to find out next week, they're going to go into the next town. They're going to follow Paul to the next town.
Amen.
Misery loves company. Are you saved today? I'm not talking about are you baptized. I'm not talking about have you joined the church. I'm not talking about have you spoken in tongues. Have you repented of your sins and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Your death on the cross was for me. Your burial was for me. Your resurrection was for me. Lord, you died in my place. That should have been me up there. You're the Messiah. I understand the means was for me. I understand the method was the cross. I understand that should have been me. That was my mess up there, but you died for me, and you were buried.
Amen.
And you rose again for me. If you've not applied that to your life today, friend, you need to apply that to your life. And once you do, don't receive the rule of the rejectors.
Amen.
The unbelieving Jews. And even though they may not be unbelievers, Christians can do it too.
Amen.
Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed and we're looking around. Just for a moment. We saw the receiving of the message and the messenger in verse 1. Rejecting of the message and the messenger in verse 2. The rejectors were the unbelieving Jews. The rallying against the message and the messenger, they stirred them up. Their goal was to ruin their minds against the message and the messenger. They made their minds up for them. Maybe because they were wowed by the exterior person. Maybe because they were wooed by their inner person, what they wanted to see. But the reaction was they were evil affected against the message, the messenger. The reality was it was against the brethren, the very ones that could help them. If you've been evil affected in here today, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands because all of us in this room have either affected someone or we're affected by someone. What I'm going to ask you is be humble enough in your own heart.
Amen.
To come down to an old-fashioned altar and ask God to deal with you and deal with your heart and let those things go. And if you've got to approach someone and get something right, and you'll have the guts to approach them and not Facebook them and not email them, not text them, but you talk to them face-to-face. That's the only way unity is going to be restored in this fellowship. The only way this evil effectiveness will get rooted out of here is when the truth of the matter is discussed and dealt with. It's the only way. The only way I got right was getting right with God first, getting right with my pastor second of all, and then going back to those that evil affected me and not listening to what they said.
Amen. Amen.
Father, bless now this invitation. Lord, there could be someone here today that needs to be saved. I don't know every heart here, but you know. Speak to us during this invitation time. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, and we're looking around. How many would say, preacher, pray for me? If I died right now, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. I'm concerned about it, but I do need your prayer. I'm a member of such and such church. I got baptized. I spoke in tongues, but I'm not really sure that if I died right now, I'd go to heaven. Would you pray for me today, preacher? All over this room, you'd raise your hand. Pray for me, preacher. By the way, folks, getting saved is not in a prayer. It's in the heart. The Bible says, with a heart, man believeth unto righteousness. With mouth, confession, man, and salvation. Anyone at all, say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm a Christian. Well, let me ask this question. Have you been evil affected? You don't have to raise your hand. Have you been evil affected by someone? Say, preacher, how will I know? When you think about somebody, you think negative about them in some way, shape, fashion, or form. You've been evil affected. You need to come down to an old-fashioned altar. Maybe someone's affected you or you've affected someone else. Whatever the case is, you need to get it right. Father, bless now these next moments. Make decisions in the hearts of your believers. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one looking around. Miss Dawson's going to sing hymn of invitation. As she sings, you come. Don't let Satan steal it from you. You come. You come now. Come out of your seat right now. Don't give Satan the advantage. Don't give him the opportunity. Don't worry about whatever everybody else is doing. You come. You come. You've been evil affected. You need to come. Don't worry about what everybody else is doing. You just step out. Great multitudes believe, both Jews and Greeks. But unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles. Who stirred you up? Who's affected your mind evilly? Who's affected against the brethren? Who's affected against your mom, your dad, your husband, your wife, your preacher, your teacher, leadership, deacons? Who's affected you? Preacher, I've been evil affected. By whom? When was it? Any of us can evil affect someone else, whether by accident. The most dangerous is maliciously, on purpose. And some will do that. The Jews did it here. They will do it again. How about it? Has Satan clouded your mind the whole message? Maybe you didn't hear a thing. Satan is trying to blind the minds of them which would believe and should believe. Are you saved? Are you evil affected? Just as I am, without one plea. Hey, some of you might need to do what I did. Come down to an old-fashioned altar. Don't let pride keep you back. Don't let Satan hold you back. Get off your pride. Humble yourself. Say, preacher, I've been affected evilly by this person or that person or this situation, that situation. I'm going to get it right today. Don't go another day with it. You will be affected, and you consequently will infect others if you don't get it right. Evil affected. Receiving the rule of the rejectors. What happened? They rallied them against the message, the messenger. They ruined their minds. They got the reaction that they wanted. Evil effectiveness. The reality was against the very ones that could help them, against the brethren. How about it? What is God asking you to do? Are you saved? All of us can fall prey to this at one time or another. Hey, why don't you do what it said? Think. Pray before you speak. Ask, is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? Is it kind? If it's not, don't say it. Don't say it. Don't say it. Preacher, you just don't know them. I don't need to. I just need to know God. What happened? They so spake that a great multitude, Jews and Greeks, believed. Have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? Father, thank you once again for just how the Bible encompasses modern day situations. This happened years ago, but Lord, it's so modern. It's readily applicable here at Shining Light, around Tucson, around Arizona, Lord, around the world, because Satan is still trying to stir up people. He's still trying to make up people's minds that aren't made up already. He's still trying to affect them in an evil way. And he's still trying to turn them against the very ones that can help them. Oh God, start here at Shining Light Baptist Church. Help me, God, to polish that sign off that I put up years ago, not to be evil affected in my mind against the brethren. Lord, help me to get that sign polished up for others and pass it on to others, that we can be fortified against this evil that Satan tries to bring into the church. And Lord, it may not be unbelieving Jews, but it's Christians that have an agenda. It's Christians that are carnal. Sometimes it's Christians that directly or indirectly do these things. And God, we're all guilty. And we're all susceptible to it at any given time. Lord, in the end, the ones that hurt are the ones that need the help the most. God, help us today. Help our leadership here to be strong. Help our leadership to be right and righteous and holy. Lord, help the followers to support us through prayer and in following. And Lord, when the evil affectors would come, help them to say, I'm not going down that road. Amen. There's a sign posted, do not enter. Because that's the point of no return. God, help us here today not to receive the rule of the rejectors. Because if we do, we'll be evil affected. And that against the brethren. Bring us back tonight, Lord. Dismiss us with your blessings. Give us the ability to watch the movie tonight. We might see how good of a God we serve. Amen. How mighty of a God we have. And God, you're mighty to save. Mighty to forgive. Mighty to save.